Well, hi, everyone. This is Siobhan. I am from Canon's Corporate Communications Department. I know it's a busy time of year, so I really want to thank you all for joining our panel discussion, Examining Millennials and the Consumerization of IT. So today, I want to introduce the members of our panel. It'll be moderated by Chris Shute, who's the Vice President of Customer Insights and Analyst Group IDC. Also joining Chris on our panel will be Patricia Ames, President of BPO Media. And from Canon, our own Tom O'Neill, Director of Product Marketing for the Enterprise Group. And as well as Dale Dupree, who is a Vice President of Sales at North America Office Solutions. I just want to let you know that this presentation is being recorded for distribution. So, and we also ask if anyone has their phone, if you could just put it on mute, that'd be great. And I will turn it over to Chris, and Chris, when the Q&A are done at the end, you could just hand it back to me and I'll have a few final words, remarks.
Great, thanks. So welcome everyone, thanks for joining us today. My name is Chris Shute, I'm a Vice President in IDC's Customer Insights and Analysis team. So I spent a lot of time trying to understand how small, medium, and enterprise-sized companies consume IT, particularly through this time of massive disruption and change. So when Canon came to me and they wanted to talk about, you know, what's happening in the market, what's new, what's going on with millennials, and that's been a huge topic for not just the past year or so, but for the past couple years. We decided to talk about the intersection of millennials and the consumerization of IT, and we'll talk about what exactly the consumerization of IT is as we make our way through the presentation. So I'm joined today by a distinguished group of folks that were just introduced. So Patricia Ames, Tom O'Neill from Canon, and Dale Dupree as well, who, by the way, is our representative millennial himself. So I won't ask how old Dale is. I'll just remind everyone that, you know, I'm not over 40. I'm actually about 25 or 26 or so. So just keep that in mind as we go throughout the presentation. So let's sort of kick things off here. We're going to go through a market overview, and then, you know, have Patricia, who's president of BPO Media, provide us some additional deeper insights into the trends she's seeing with millennials in the workplace. We're going to hand it over to Tom O'Neill at Canon for some insights in terms of, you know, how is Canon positioning itself and responding to a lot of these changes that are taking place within the enterprise marketplace. And then finally, we're going to have a panel discussion with our esteemed colleagues, also featuring Canon dealer Dale Dupree. And then we'll open it up to audience Q&A, and then we'll have some closing remarks from Canon. So let's sort of jump in here, and let's discuss this. You know, what does consumerization mean? So broadly put, consumerization of IT generally means IT solutions and services that were meant for businesses now being designed very similarly in a, to what you would find in a consumer device. So what does this mean exactly? So let's look at this by role within an organization. So for a CEO, consumerization means largely the ability to use any type of device anywhere and go to IT and have them individually provision, secure, and manage the applications on their own personal device. So if we go back in time to, say, 2006, 2007, 2008 or so, this was really the start of the whole revolution where Apple kind of came into the marketplace at the ground level. They sort of came in through these individual purchases by C-suite executives who would go to IT and say, hey, I have this cool, awesome iPhone. I want to get my email on it. You know, I want to get my my calendaring on it. I want to get some applications on it. Can you help me out? And of course, you know, the CIO of the organization would say, no problem, CEO. But the reality was is that by introducing these personal devices into the organization, the CIO actually had to start to think about whether the fact that there would be security concerns due to bring your own apps, bring your own device, that would really undermine the infrastructure they had so carefully nurtured, secured, and developed over the, I don't know, 5-10 years that they had been there in terms of their tenure. So the CIO largely viewed consumerization as a response to executives wanting to access information with user-friendly devices, But this required them to start to rethink how they wanted to develop their infrastructure. So we have our friendly CIO here, you know, starting to rework the plumbing in his organization. But then you start to go out functionally into the IT department, and it was kind of worse, right? So here we have our poor IT manager, because about 2009, 2010 or so, a lot of the cool devices were starting to be brought in en masse by rank and file employees. So it wasn't just CEOs or chief marketing officers, but now it was anyone, you know, maybe director, manager, down to individual contributor level, who wanted to have the same access on a personal user-friendly device to email, applications, file sharing, so on and so forth, that the CEO or C-suite executive had for the past couple of years. So what ended up happening was IT felt like they had to, you know, put out a water main break in a room full of live electricity. This is essentially what it felt like. So, you know, you would have folks come in and you would say no to them. No, you can't have email access, right? So what they would do is they would start to forward their work email to a Gmail account and access, you know, their own personal Gmail account that way and do all sorts of funny, weird, you know, completely out of policy things. But by and large, by the time we get to 2015, 2016, the market, you know, in the IT function, it's sort of caught up. Line of business leadership, it's sort of caught up to this trend. So when we start to think about what consumerization of IT means now, to the employee, there's a benefit in terms of having these user-friendly devices, but there's also a benefit to all these other roles, right? So think about this picture right here of the employee. So, you know, if someone, you know, he or she could have their own personal device, they could have a device that was actually purchased by the company that was very user-friendly, an Apple device, an Android device, or, you know, Windows device, and look at this person where they're at. They could be in their kitchen. They could be in a cafe. What consumerization actually means for all of these roles is increased productivity anytime, anywhere. So after all the drama, after all the fires in the electrical department, after undermining the CIO's infrastructure, at the end of this 10-year process, we have a workplace that is much more efficient, much more user-friendly, and far, far more productive. So to extend this analogy, what are we seeing in the market now? So guess what? What we don't see are super giant iPads, being used in offices everywhere. You know, the way that we saw iPads initially used by certain roles maybe, you know, 8 or 10 years ago. Because the consumerization of IT has evolved as a lot of these consumer vendors like Apple, Samsung, Microsoft, as well as longtime PC providers such as Dell, Lenovo, and HP, and now you have this evolving form factor. So you have these two-in-one PCs. You have powerful tablets that can access enterprise-class applications, right? You have the ability to create content on these devices, and really what's happened is it's truly validated the space. So when you start to think about, you know, 2008, 2009, and having this pushback from IT in terms of not wanting to, you know, open Pandora's box here with allowing anyone to access company data and applications anytime, anywhere. Now we've come full circle where IT is really supporting, along with line of business leaders, along with C-suite executives, this notion of a flexible computing environment where employees can be as productive as possible, but also enjoy the work they do because they're using this very user-friendly devices and applications. So what's sort of the long-term implication here? So, you know, this wouldn't be an IDC presentation unless we talked about, you know, agility and talked about, you know, the perfect storm and all these sort of, you know, management consulting, you know, style terms. So what's going on here? So throughout this time of disruption over the past couple, 10 years or so, we have this notion of personalized, bring your own apps, bring your own devices, start to come into the organization. And what's the result? The result has been a higher level of engagement with rank and file employees, being able to access content, you know, outside or inside the firewall of a given company's IT organization. Also the notion of the fact that you've been able to start to organize these organic movements, right? So it's not just saying, hey, you can bring in whatever device you want. Hey, you can access any devices, any applications you want. Companies are starting to engage in what IDC calls digital transformation. And digital transformation is essentially a fancy term for business process improvement around utilizing IT solutions and services. So this notion of an IT leader not just saying, okay, you can access email here or you know, access Dropbox there. You know, coming up with policies and capabilities that are within an organizational framework and strategy, and that's really what digital transformation means. So let's actually extend this even further in what happens here. So what does digital transformation and, you know, supporting consumerization of IT really mean, and what are the results? And the results are better teamwork, more constant teamwork, the ability to collaborate in life in anytime, anywhere, and live. The ability to retain your employees, which is something not a lot of companies like to talk about. The fact that if you're a new employee, say a millennial, and you walk into an organization and they don't have BYOD policies, they're trying to force a desktop PC on you and you can't access email after work hours. Well, guess what? You're more likely to leave this company than not. And that impacts, you know, the operation, the chief financial officer in terms of, you know, increased employee turnover, which can be very costly once you get beyond rank and file and get into star sales employees and so on and so forth. So there's a positive and negative impact to the general ledger here when it comes to a lot of these capabilities we've been talking about. And also there's essentially, at the end of the day, a financial performance improvement, right? So happier employees, more collaborative employees, they're developing better products faster, they're increasing revenue, getting to market faster, and therefore making the company more profitable. So this is how we see consumerization of IT really driving business agility, not just now, but moving forward, and essentially a much more strategic framework as time goes on. So let's actually kind of go a little bit deeper into these capabilities. So let's look at some IDC's primary research, and this is around application mobilization. So when you want to think about, you know, devices, you can't just think about these things as, oh, there's this cool device and it's got a great camera and this, so on and so forth. You have to think about the enterprise class applications, the business apps that are being run on these devices by the IT organization. So I'm not going to go through all the data that's on this chart here, but when you look at this data and you look at mid-sized firms or large enterprises, you can see that even now in 2015 and 2016, they're well on their way to not just allowing you, hey, you can access email, but even going beyond that and saying, hey, we're going to actually extend our enterprise resource planning tools, you know, to iPads, you know, to, you know, Surface, you know, to Android devices, right? So the ability to access these core enterprise software capabilities beyond the firewall within the field is quickly becoming more of a norm than it would have been even just, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. So let's look even deeper than that. Let's try to understand the trends around, you know, we've discussed devices, we've discussed the positive impact they've had in organizations. Let's start to talk about, you know, what's the impact on the market and what's the impact on vendors, right? Because that's sort of why we're here today, to talk about, you know, how Canon is leading during this time of consumerization of IT. So we can see here that the IDC forecast for the number of mobile workers, the mobile worker population, is set to grow from, you know, about 100 million in 2014 to about 112 million by 2016. And what you don't see in here is the balance of the workforce. Lots of mobile workers, you know, and mobile worker doesn't necessarily mean, you know, way back in the day, you know, you were cool if you had a BlackBerry and you could access email. Wow. But now what it means is that I'm a salesperson. I can take orders. I can demonstrate product. And I can close deals from my Surface Pro, you know, tablet 2-in-1 PC, right? So the value of mobility is changing in this mix and becoming much higher as time goes on throughout our forecast. And then you start to look at the industry picture, right? So what are the industries that are being most impacted over our forecast? And this is looking out to 2020 and, you know, where is the share of mobile worker, high-value mobile worker population going to be, you know, what industries are they going to be sitting in, right? So you have, you know, healthcare and social assistance, you know, very, you know, out in the field, very, with patients, you know, with customers, you know, out at remote offices and remote healthcare facilities. But you also have this notion of the fact that, you know, because, you know, you look at the Affordable Care Act, you look at HIPAA, you look at, you know, the electronic, you know, the digitization of patients' medical files, And you go from there and you say that, you know, it's really every healthcare organization or drug manufacturer, you know, they really have to be on board with mobile and cloud IT. Otherwise, frankly, they're not going to be in compliance with industry regulations, never mind the fact that they're going to be, you know, not competitive. So so where do we go from there? We talk about retail, right? So retail tends to not necessarily be the first industry anyone thinks about when they think of cutting-edge IT, but let's talk about our friends at Best Buy these days, right? So, you know, we're talking about Canon's, you know, B2B side, but, you know, a lot of vendors have worked through traditional retail channels and have seen massive amounts of transformation. So you think about the notion of the salesperson wandering the floor and they're equipped with tablets and they're able to take the point of sale away from a register and actually go to the customer or potential customer anywhere inside the store footprint. You think about the store within a store concept, right? The ability to, you know, not just, you know, order from, you know, we'll take Best Buy here, you know, order from Best Buy themselves, but actually, you know, I can order from Samsung, I can order from Apple, I can order from Sony, you know, because of this store within a store concept. And also what I can do is I can actually order online and go pick up at these stores without having to wait 2 days for, you know, a certain giant e-commerce retailer to send me something for, you know, as part of my Prime membership. So so cloud and mobile IT has had a profound impact on the retail sector and will continue to do so over time. And then there's the notion of logistics. You think about, you know, the capabilities that the Postal Service or FedEx or UPS, you know, the ability to link customers to packages in terms of live updates about where those packages are, right, and where they go. The ability to secure those packages by, you know, getting a signature or proof of delivery, you know, in instant, you know, in real time. So the ability to utilize cloud applications and mobile IT to streamline and secure and make the delivery process much more efficient and frankly make these firms far more competitive than they would be otherwise. So there's huge amounts of industry transformation happening through the consumerization of IT. So let's actually talk about, you know, specific, you know, capabilities, right? So we've talked about, you know, devices a little bit and about the journey, and we've talked about, you know, the positive impacts it's had on organizations and industries. You know, so what the heck are we talking about when we talk about, you know, applications, right? Because I've been talking about that for quite some time. So we think about the first set of applications, and consumerization of IT isn't necessarily tied to a device. It's actually tied to how you manage IT in your organization. So if we go back about 10 or 12 years, one of the first cloud services wasn't even called a cloud service. It was called, you know, platform as a service. So the ability to, you know, gosh, you know, I'm building new applications in my company. I don't want to buy another server and go through a requisition process and all this stuff. You know, if only I could rent this capability, right? And we could just connect there through the internet. Oh, look at this. Amazon is renting out its spare e-commerce servers that it doesn't need over the holiday winter timeframe. Oh, that's awesome. I can pay for it with a credit card. Bang. So all of a sudden, your ability to utilize a credit card, very consumerized way of paying for essentially an IT solution and renting it out for a little while, you know, pay as you go, pay for what you need, revolutionizes your basic, you know, IT infrastructure hardware footprint and capability, right? So that was the first one. So, you know, what was the second one? We talked about this quite a bit. It was devices, right? So it's not just, you know, phones and tablets, but it's to the point where wearable devices, particularly those distributed by companies to their employees, is starting to have a ground level effect in terms of specific types of use cases associated with specific industries. And we've already talked about the evolving form factor for traditional devices and how those have become mobilized. So what was next, right? I don't know, my WebEx is, there we go, okay. So of course, you know, what comes next is security, right? So you think about the role of IT security and how this changes when you start to engage with solutions that, you know, aren't within your firewall, right? They live outside your firewall, and you're not just dealing with these devices and these applications once in a while, you're dealing with them every single day, across every employee inside your organization, and also dealing with your suppliers, your business partners, and your customers as well. So, you know, the role of IT security, cloud-based security, has profoundly changed and become, you know, a core element that's able to protect all these devices and capabilities, you know, from bad actors. And then finally, we have this notion of, well, let's not just, you know, kind of take, you know, antivirus that we used to have in the 90s and, you know, stick it on a cloud. Let's actually think more strategically about how we want to secure not just our data, applications, and devices, but our entire organization. So one of the growing trends we've seen over the past 18 months is this ability to easily deploy, develop and deploy business continuity and disaster recovery solutions. So some of you have been around for a while with, you know, this used to be called, you know, having redundant servers at all three of your branch offices, right? You know, if one branch office gets, you're struck by lightning, then you're okay if the other two survive. You know, and that used to require, you know, a sizable budget to not just build out, but to maintain and protect as well. Now we can go through cloud service providers and also individual vendors who can develop, deploy, secure an entire business continuity or disaster recovery solution for the entire organization. So, you know, if you're hit by a hurricane, for instance, you know, your data, applications, and general availability are backed up somewhere, and your business can be back up and running, you know, within 3 hours, 6 hours, 9 hours, or what have you, you know, working out of a different location. So, you know, again, this wouldn't be possible without cloud IT, you know, building out the backbone and being able to deliver that as a service, you know, as a on a monthly pay-as-you-go plan, as opposed to trying to figure out a way to afford and fund a capital project, you know, to build out that capability. Many times companies, you know, it would be back of, you know, the back burner type of a project that never would get done. And then finally, we have this notion of starting to mobilize core capabilities. So one of my favorite examples when we talk about consumerization and cloud IT is Office 365. And you think about the fact that Office 365 has now been deployed in the majority of large enterprise and mid-market firms in the U.S. And when you think about Office 365, what happens to a company that deploys this is they become a cloud-first company. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is I'm taking that on-premise Exchange server with all those problems. You know, I got to come in on the weekend and patch the damn thing, and it breaks down, and everyone yells at me if I'm the IT guy because they can't get their email. I stick that through my partner on Microsoft Azure, and guess what? It's someone else's problem. And that's not just that, but all of a sudden I can have my employees access their email and calendaring and soon-to-be applications anytime, anywhere, with a level of familiarity that they would have with all Microsoft products, and with a level of security that I'm comfortable with. So no one can discount the profound impact that Office 365 adoption has had on not just, you know, accessing email through a cloud server, but on the fact that, you know, say, for instance, in a small business, you know, that has an average of, you know, say 1.2 servers on premise, you know, all of a sudden you take away the Exchange server and then you start to think differently about IT, right? So if I'm a small business and I've taken away that Exchange server, well, why do I need, you know, a 0.2 servers on my on-premise in my server closet, right? Let's go to the cloud all the way, man, right? So it starts to have a profound impact, not just on what on how you approach IT, but literally on what you purchase, how you purchase, and, you know, how you fund these projects and the types of vendors you deal with. So this is the enterprise consumerization journey to date. If we have to extend this out, we start to talk about IoT, we start to talk about augmented and virtual reality, and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, if we come back here next year or the year after, I'll have more to talk about then. There we go. Okay. All right. So let's start to talk about millennials, because we did you know, feature that in our title. And when you think about millennials, and obviously terms of millennial is anyone under the age of 35. And yeah, we can get into the, you know, the nomenclature. Is it a digital native versus a real millennial versus a Gen Y? By and large, it's anyone under 35 that's grown up with technology, you know, differently than, say, a Gen X person that we classify as age 35 to 50. Or never mind a baby boomer or someone classified as, you know, 50 to 70. So millennials really, and it's not just so much a millennials, but it's millennial mindset. So you think about this whole, you know, we talked about it earlier, you know, bringing consumer devices into your workplace to access email, right? You know, that was driven, you know, it's a very millennial mindset type of decision to support, right? It's a new way of thinking. It's very fast. It's very. It requires a new way to, you know, select, fund, and secure different types of IT functions, right? So not just millennials coming into the workplace are reshaping how IT is consumed, but these millennial attitudes being adopted by different generations are also hastening that trend. So we quantify this in our surveys, right? And we start to think about the modern IT organization that can support being far more competitive than ever before, being far more responsive to changing market conditions ever since the Great Recession. And so we think about the term of modernization, and it really starts with consumerization, what we've been talking about here. And so what we found is millennial-led firms that are led by, you know, leaders age 35 and under, they're 25% more likely to be deploying, you know, cloud IT than their peers, right? So this is everything from, you know, much more likely to be booking, say, you know, travel management software, right? The ability to book, manage, and then expense out your business trips or business expenses. 60% more likely than the average firm. Office software, right, that's based in the cloud, accessed anywhere, real-time collaboration, as opposed to, you know, for some of us, taking a CD and loading it on every single machine, right? So, more than 50% more likely. Accounting and financial management. So turning over your accounting and finance software, getting it out of your organization, particularly payroll, that's our fourth choice, and getting that on a server, getting that managed through a partner, you know, taking that back office capability, frankly, and turning it into a cloud service, and then taking that headcount that you may have supported in the past and taking that headcount and moving it into a much higher value department, right? So I'm going to hire a real great marketing person. I'm going to hire two more engineers that can develop real great products for me. I'm going to hire a super savvy sales star, you know, that can sell these awesome products, right? So you're enabling your back office with software as a service and cloud IT. At the same time, you're shifting, you know, your full-time employees in that strategy more towards value-added capabilities. So you think about this is a very millennial type of thing to do, and they're actually, you know, 25% ahead of the pack here when it comes to utilizing cloud IT to make that happen. And it's really tied to modernization. I guess I'll leave you with this. We're coming towards the end of our presentation here. When you think about, you know, what we just talked about in terms of utilizing cloud to change your organization, you really have to think about cloud as being a way to adapt to change, right? So organizations are really adapting to changes, not just inside their operations, but across their entire ecosystem. You think about a company's ecosystem, it involves their operations, it involves their employees, it involves their business partners, it involves their technology partners, and it involves their customers, and maybe it involves the government if you're in an industry that has a high levels of compliance, right? So digital technologies are really enhancing your business model to be able to adapt to the fact that this entire ecosystem a given company has to deal with is really amorphous, right? You know, it's very fluid. There's a lot of changes going on. So if you think about the role of the CEO, the CEO is like, man, I gotta make money here, right? I gotta generate new revenue streams, and that's the most important thing that this ecosystem has to give me, right? And that's what I look for cloud IT. For the chief marketing officer, it's this notion of, you know, I'm gonna help the CEO by creating new customer experiences. So you think about the role of products and devices. You know, devices aren't sold as devices anymore the way they were 30, 40 years ago. They're sold as experiences, right? You know, if I had a certain device, it's because the software on it provides me with a specific type of experience that I really enjoy. And that's been extended into B2B products and services along with B2C products and services. And you think about the role of the chief financial officer, who really has the hardest job of all. It's to, you want to increase revenue. Yeah, you want to have all these touchy-feely experiences, Mr. CMO. But she has to, you know, improve operational efficiencies, right? You know, she has to, you know, she's the one who has to rapidly respond to the changing market conditions in terms of managing the organization. So, you know, this is a role-based look at, you know, what's happening inside these organizations when it comes to the changes brought about by consumerization of IT along with cloud and mobile adoption. So I'm going to leave you with a bit of IDC research. It's something we call a survey spotlight. And this is a new type of IDC report, which essentially takes one question And it answers it very thoroughly. So the question we asked earlier this year to ourselves is, we see all this data about millennials, and what's going on here, right? So we surveyed mid-market-sized firms that have maybe a couple hundred to a couple thousand employees. We said, now, how do these millennial-led mid-market firms, how do they interpret digital transformation, which is what we talked about earlier in the presentation here, you know, an organized way of utilizing IT to transform business processes. So we look at 2016 and beyond, and we could group these responses into three specific buckets. So the first bucket is essentially modernizing endpoints, right? So adopting Windows 10, adopting more mobile form factors in terms of the types of devices that you distribute to your employees. There's this notion of embracing the third platform. And the third platform is how IDC, it's an IDC term that encompasses all the changes we've talked about today, cloud, mobile, you know, we talk about big data, we talk about IoT, we talk about, you know, fluid security environments. We talk about hybrid cloud. We talk about the ability to secure and enable mobile workers no matter where they are. So this is you know, more of a long-term concern for a millennial-led mid-market firm. But at the same time, it's as much of a priority in some cases as kitting out your employees with the latest devices. And then finally, we have this notion of streamlining back office operations. So you think about the role of, making better decisions faster, you know, adopting business intelligence and analytics software, making your employees, much more collaborative through cloud-based capabilities. Also, this role of outsourcing printers, into a managed print service environment, right? So, some people in the industry still cling to the notion of the paperless office, and, time and time again, that's been proven to be incorrect over the past 20 years I've been covering different IT industries, right? So even millennials, right, they know that they, have to manage a print infrastructure, right? But they're going to do it in a way that's very streamlined and very modern and very mobile. So this notion of we're going to, utilize managed print server capabilities, we're going to outsource that capability, but we recognize that printing is a critical business need that is frankly never going to go away. So with that note, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to introduce Patricia Ames, president of BPO Media, who's going to walk us through even more trends associated with millennials. So, Patricia, take it away.
Thank you so much, Chris. I do have a question for you, though. Did you really work the Andrea Gale from The Perfect Storm into your presentation?
I was actually an extra on the boat.
Seriously?
No, it wasn't. That's such an IDC thing to do. So
it was great. It's probably not a millennial movie, but what a great work, Ed. So thank you for that extra special moment. And it was excellent information, so I really appreciate the background. So if we could go to my first slide, thank you. I'd just like to highlight a couple of key insights. First is just to point out the sheer size of this group we're talking about. Millennials represent the biggest group in U.S. history. We're talking 85 million and counting. The Arketti Group recently conducted a study on B2B technology purchases broken down by generation and found that millennials already take the lead in researching vendors, but also in final decision-making power. So they're already in making those decisions in the corporate environment. 61% of millennials describe their role in technology purchases within their organization as decision maker, and then 34% report having budget and or final sign-off authority on enterprise technology purchases. Only 23% of baby boomers and 27% of Gen X report the same budget and sign-off authority. So the bottom line is both managers and employees, particularly millennials, are expecting the tools they use at work to have the same ease of and use of convenience as those that they use in their personal lives. Those are my general takeaways. And then if we could go to the next slide. I did find another slide that gives a great visual to represent the extent of the millennial majority, particularly in technology companies. It's pretty enlightening and it says it all in one shot. Basically, Facebook's average age of employee is only 28 years old. Apple is 31, and even a stalwart like Intel is only 34. The median age of Americans employed in business is 41, but in small business, it is actually 57. So that just shows you how millennials in technology firms are really representing the majority. This illustrates the extent to which millennials are already deeply embedded in our corporate world and are actively shaping, influencing, and making major technology decisions. Okay, those were my insights, Chris. Thank you.
No, you're welcome. That was super great. And it's a very interesting analysis here. I didn't know that, the average age of a small business employee was quite that high. So, and it's very interesting to chart out these trends. Thank you for providing these. So Tom, we're going to turn it over to you to talk a little bit about how Canon is addressing these trends and how Canon sees the market. So, Tom, why don't you tell us more about this?
Okay. Thank you very much, Patricia and Chris. I kind of feel like the aging baby boomer on this call, because I am. But this aging baby boomer has been in this market for a long time and has seen a lot of changes go on, especially in the demographics of decision making in our industry, in the copier printer industry, and in the usage and the expectations from those users using the devices. But what we do understand is that consumerization, as Chris outlined, is actually going on. I mean, it's not stopping. You've got that employee over there that has access to all kinds of services in their personal life, all kinds of technology, mobile technology in their personal life. And their expectation is really, when they work with technology, they expect it to be, as I call it, transparent. So they want some form of technology transparency, and they get it in the apps and what they're working on in the personal area. They expect that now coming into the office, and especially these millennials. On the other hand, when you're working with an organization, an enterprise, we still have to be sensitive to the fact that you're working with organizations that need and want security and control. Security is a huge issue, as we're all aware of. And so you have to have this balance between the enterprise expectations, which is they want some form of standardization. They want to be able to control not only who uses it, but perhaps even how that user uses the technology. And of course, then they want the other security pieces wrapped up as well, with encryption and all of that. Because in our area, obviously, we're working with data that's coming in over the network, and it's got to be encrypted, and it's information that, if it gets out in the marketplace in the wrong hands, can be very damaging. So, bottom line is, we know we have to balance the needs of the enterprise, but we also know that the users that actually utilize our technology, whether it's software or hardware, have those expectations that they bring in from home. They want basically their technology set up their way so that they can be productive, the individual can be productive. They're really focused on making themselves more productive rather than kind of looking at the whole group becoming productive, because they know that if they become productive, it helps them in their career, but then the whole group is that much more productive. So we definitely see that need. We've got a variety of different ways that we address those needs. Anywhere from on the hardware systems, the third generation Image Runner Advance systems having an authentication mechanism through Universal Login Manager that makes it easy for the enterprise, no matter what size, to quickly set up a good, thorough authentication application. But then when that application is activated, what it does is it opens the door onto the third generation to a My Advance feature that we brought in. And what that does is, through the authentication and through the security controls, that IT manager, security manager, can control who accesses it. They can control the functions that person can access. But once the person is authenticated, then it comes down to the user, being the millennial, wants their technology their way. So now they have access to the technology. They want to be able to set it up and customize that experience to the way they work, not the way that the last user worked or the next user is going to work. And that's always been a very difficult thing when we look at copiers and printers, because they're a community shared device. And so to try to really individualize it has been difficult. But through this MyAdvance on our third generation, we feel we've got a very good doorway that allows them to do that. They can set up their own settings. They can set up their functions that they use so that automatically when they log in, everything that they normally use is there. They can even change the language. If they're wanting to utilize it in a different language, they can do that. And probably more importantly then, although we're talking a lot about mobile users within the enterprise, if they move through the enterprise, those users want to go up to another device where maybe they've got a print job or a scan job that they need to do and be able to access that device and, again, have that technology transparency, have their settings come right back up just as they had set it up on the last device that they used. And that's what our MyAdvance technology can do. We also address the expectations of just being able to get to the cloud. So many applications, as Chris was showing, the enterprises are moving to the cloud. We have to be able to make it easier for them to connect to that. But yet again, like I say, balance the needs of the enterprise to make sure that the connection that is there is a good secure connection a controlled connection. We're also handling this balancing needs through partnerships such as Box that we'll be working with to offer additional services that will make those millennials even much more productive in their workflows. The mobile aspect of it, we've got advanced mobile capability to where the millennials can print a job virtually from anywhere through the mobile print applications that we have, and even as they stand at the device, actually control the device through their mobile phones or their mobile devices. So we're really focused on meeting the needs of this new generation, but again, like I say, balancing that with all the needs of the enterprises that we're still working with.
Great. Thanks for that insight. It's interesting to understand the role of not just devices in these organizations, but what happens when you have to interact with other types of devices, such as servers, printers, so on and so forth. So really great insights there. So let's actually move to our panel discussion, and then we're going to open it up for question and answer. So here we all are in our virtual panel, on some stage somewhere. So Patricia, I'm going to start with you. Because you talked about millennials, really in depth. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, what are some of the views you're finding with millennials? Not just on how you use devices or this, that, and the other thing, but when it comes to purchasing decisions within an organization, within a business, and does that have any impact in terms of how vendors like Canon are have to approach the market?
Thank you, Chris. Actually, both you and Tom have pointed out a couple of things that are going on, which includes a migration to all things mobile, apps usage, and anything cloud-based. So there's a tendency to migrate to as-a-service models, and millennials have been the early adopters of this sharing economy and are strong proponents of having access to but not necessarily owning products. And I think this bleeds through to decisions on technology purchases in both the enterprise and small business environments. It's all, of course, made possible by far greater access to cloud-based solutions, right? So the technology is in place and ready for these decisions. So vendors and channel partners particularly, I think, need to be prepared for these shifts in preferences. And they need to make sure that they have the support from mobile and cloud integrated into their offerings. Vendors are particularly challenged, I think, because they need to get qualified sales personnel that understand these newer technologies and also can articulate the value propositions to the prospects. and that's no easy task. I mean, there's at least an additional entire webinar series, I think, warranted to looking at corporate cultures and hiring and retaining millennials to allow companies to position for the future. It's a topic everyone is struggling with. It's not just small business, it's also enterprise. I've seen and read articles about Microsoft's attempts to recruit millennials as the uncoolest of the tech companies in some respects, and some of the failures along the way to that path to success. So it's a process. It is hands down one of the biggest struggles for all companies, I think, not just SMB, but also enterprise. And I think that's going to present one of the biggest challenges, in my opinion.
Well, that's great. No, that's certainly a lot to think about. And you brought up the role of the dealer and the channel partner. So Dale, this is actually where I want to bring you in. So what are you finding, you know, not just in your business, but actually when you deal with customers, you know, what are their perspectives on, you know, the trends we've talked about throughout the past hour or so, you know, consumerization, you know, engaging in this millennial mindset or with millennial attitudes or so on and so forth? Or, you know, do you find, is there any real life examples that you could possibly share?
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, absolutely. But first, not to go too far back into the conversation, but Perfect Storm came out in the year 2000, so it would be a millennial movie. However, I think that we all gave it like a 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, so not very popular with my generation. Real quickly, too, I like the way that we're presenting technology today. It speaks to my generation when you say, here's the progression of technology. And with that said, I am a millennial. I was born in 1985, but more importantly, my father opened his own copier dealership in 1984. So a lot of people refer to me and say that, you know, Dale has toner running through his blood. And although it sounds cool, I'm not sure there's a lot of health benefit to that, quite frankly. But I've seen from the very beginning stages of when we did a dog and pony show, when we didn't have an IT person involved in the purchase at all, I think the office manager was more of the decision-making power, and people looked at a copier as a paper producer. And slowly migrating that into the year 2000 and into the current generation, where I've just slowly watched everything evolve from social media to the way a copier integrates into your workflow to how your business can evolve with technology and evolve with the generation that's coming. Because it is true that my generation was raised on a laptop or a PC at the time, right? And as everything evolved and technology said, hey, you can get on your phone, Dale, and do all this stuff. Absolutely. I mean, I was at a meeting earlier today, and one of the speakers said, hey, if you guys pick up your phone right now, I want you to kind of look at that thing and look at all the apps on it and try to imagine what it would be like to do business without that. And it's a very tough question for a millennial. I mean, we'd probably rip our hair out and you know, get out of business altogether, quite frankly, because it is the way of the future. And one of the things that we see a lot in this generation and the people that are purchasing nowadays is that they will look you up on LinkedIn. They'll check you out on the internet. They'll do some social interaction type research on you as an individual, as a company, as a product before they even call you in the first place. And where that's important is that it's because these folks are also finding their products online. They're integrating everything that works directly from their PC into their networked environment onto a server that's either on-site or off-site. But it has all the products that you're talking about today. And it's wild because we just got an RFP where they ask if we're compatible with Azure AD and Office 365 and Google Drive. And those things are so important to this coming generation and the people that are my age that are making decisions now, that are in their late 20s, early 30s. They're not looking at a copier anymore as a paper producer. They're saying, how can this thing integrate into my life inside of my workflow at the office to make things easier for me, my employees, and not just the millennials, right? They're looking at it as a quality of life for everybody at the office, from the CEO to the receptionist, no matter the age group, because there is a trend right now, and like it was stated, we are the largest group ever to be in the workplace at once, right? You know, I heard a statistic and a number the other day that blew my mind. I didn't even know that so many people at my age were working in the first place, but really, you know, to the point of what we're talking about here, this is a key practice, integrating your workflow digitally from an MFP or an MFD device into your daily routine at the office and how it works with things like Google or Dropbox or even your social media sites. We made a joke the other day with a customer in the office, and we do it often actually. We scan in some paperwork and we tell them that the future, the copier will pop up a notification and say, hey, you just scanned 50 pages. Would you like to tweet and Facebook post and LinkedIn post what you just did so everybody and your friends can see?
I guess that, yeah. I don't know. As a baby boomer, I'm a little little hesitant, but yeah, that'd be interesting. Again, it challenges our balance there with the enterprise.
Dale, what I liked most about what you said and what I took away was not just quality of life, but you know, obviously sales are very important to all of us, right? And you brought up the fact that. You know, what at IDC we call the unmanaged sales motion. So in the past, you know, you could, you know, call in a customer, you know, have them quantified as a prospect and more proactively engage them than now where the prospect is actually proactively engaging you and you don't even know it. So you have to, as a company, a dealer, a vendor, supplier, whatever, you have to be everywhere, you know, everywhere at every time and looking your best, right? You know, you can't have a crappy, outdated LinkedIn page. You can't have a Twitter handle that, you know, hasn't produced content in 6 months. And you never mind having a website that's out of date, you know, certainly not. So you have to, you know, you have to support all these assets to engage these proactive prospects who, frankly, don't want to talk to you until, you know, three quarters of the way through their research process, right? So the unmanaged sales motion is something that every single vendor is wrestling with. So speaking of which, you know, Tom, you know, you mentioned a lot of great examples of how Canon is engaging, you know, technology-wise with these changing trends. Did you want to, you know, talk a little bit more concretely about what you're seeing from customers in the market? Dale talked about his perspective as being a dealer. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about the larger the larger market and what you're seeing out there when it comes to cloud, mobile, or consumerization.
We're seeing it pretty much exactly what Dale is outlining. We host VIP trips for large customers to come in, and on almost every VIP, mobile solutions is right at the top. They want to understand how are we handling this mobile workforce, as well as output management, but yet, you know, help those mobile folks get to the printing that they need. So, you know, that's a discussion, and it's always part of that discussion and something that we're always ready to talk about.
Interesting. Very, very, very interesting. So Tom, actually, before we, I want to leave some time for Q&A, and I wanted you to have the last word. I mean, what, you know, let's talk a little bit about what we're going to see. You know, obviously, it's we're coming to the end of the year here. We're starting to think about what's going to be happening in 2017 as, you know, obviously our near-term priority. So do you want to talk a little bit about 2017 and what are we going to see from Canon? You know, what types of developments? And what can the market start to expect, in the first half or throughout the entire next year?
Yeah, I guess we should put you all under embargo, but we won't. I think in 2017, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see the culmination of our third generation Image Runner Advance system. Introduction, you know, that'll be fully done, and really, I like as Dale was pointing out, you know, the customers and the users look at the MFP, you know, as a really critical part of their workflow, not that paper producer anymore, and with what we've got, as I explained in earlier, with the authentication and the My Advance, you'll be able to see much more customization capability across the line. I think, you know, you're going to see expanding cloud services, cloud-based services coming into play. You know, that software as a service is growing, and we definitely are a player there. We just introduced our Canon Business Services platform last year to really allow dealers to better deliver the software as a service to their customers. But more importantly, I think what you'll begin to see is what I term a solution as a service. And that's really, you know, identifying a workflow and being able to handle that, you know, as a service off the cloud. That's going to, I believe, really be a fruit of our Box partnership that we have, and a variety of other partnerships that we have, like with Oracle and Fujitsu. So, you're going to see us migrate much more to cloud service offerings. Yet again, be very sensitive to the fact that we need to handle still the office needs around security and confidentiality and that.
Great, excellent. Well, I tell you what, I think I'm under NDA, but I'm not sure. But I'm looking forward to hearing hearing what news specifically comes out. You piqued my interest with Box and the whole notion of a solution as a service. So I guess we'll think of a lot about this over the holiday break. But with the remaining 3 minutes we had, I wanted to open it up to the audience for some general questions. So our Canon voice from above, perhaps you could field some questions and send them. Okay, well let's see here. I'm gonna go through the chat, and I think there's one there. Okay, well let's one just popped up. So we talked a little bit about, Dale, you talked about specific solutions. You talked about how it's important to integrate with Office 365, Google Drive, and some other capabilities. And I wanted to sort of open it up to the larger panel. Tom, maybe you want to jump in here. I sort of, emphasized Office 365 as a big game changer for, businesses of every size, right? So I didn't know if you were finding, throughout your work with dealers and customers, if that change is really starting to impact, how Canon views the market or how Canon is approaching the market. So I guess I'll toss this to Tom first.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely it's informing us that change is occurring. We're getting quite a few more requests now to make sure that we integrate into that. So definitely that trend is growing.
Okay. So Dale, let me ask you a question. We talked about, Microsoft versus Google and, maybe some other companies, and that's sort of an inside IT conversation. But you touch customers every single day, real-life customers. And what's your sense of, what capabilities are they supporting? Are they still, in with Microsoft? Or they, want to move off to G Suite and, get away from Windows? Or, what are some of those technology trends you're hearing about from customers?
It's been pretty interesting to see what vertical uses which operating system or prefers which operating system, which piece of technology that's out there. We see some people fully integrated with Google, using Salesforce, using Drive, collaborating through their Hangouts discussions that's built into a Google account. We've seen some pretty wild stuff, but I'll say the thing that I see the most right now is I see the integration of people wanting to bring Apple products into their offices, and not so much for full use across the board for every department, but for one or two or three specifically because of the applications that they have and that they're good with. And the question comes up a lot of times, will the MFD or the MFP be something that we can utilize in this workflow. And so that's one of the newer things that we're seeing a lot of, but I'd say the majority of people these days, they're very open to looking at Google for their entire enterprise suite, you know, of software. And that's exciting. And the most exciting piece is that Canon is so integrated with a lot of the existing file share or just general technology applications that people are using, that it's very simplistic for an end user to look at the Canon products and say, this is what I want, this is what I need. Along with the customization, Tom talked a little bit about being able to log into a machine and it says, welcome to your copier, Dale, right? And the idea of that is great to a millennial. They like that customization. They like that personalization. They like to be able to hit a button and scan directly back to their desktop instead of having to scroll through 800 different users at their enterprise account. These things might seem small to some folks, you know, from the outside looking in, but to the clients that we serve, it's one of the most important pieces that they're looking at as far as the evolution is concerned of what their copier is going to do for them tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, but we didn't even talk about the role of the user experience. So you bring up some great points there in terms of, you know, managing, you know, clicks, right? The fewest clicks possible, you know, the fewest menus possible, right? So that's something important. So, Patricia, I wanted to end with you because you obviously, you know, as a journalist, you know, you talk to a lot of different, you know, constituencies in the industry. And you mentioned, you know, some trends, you know, around Microsoft before. Did you want to share anything in sort of, you know, capstone our presentation today around, you know, what we talked about with Tom and Dale in terms of, you know, different types of technology solutions that are being embraced in the office environment?
You know what? I actually would love to. I really think that in the end, if we could end with anything right now, my word would be security. I know it's not a natural tendency for most millennials to focus much on security issues, but it is vital to corporate health. It seems like every day there is another major data breach stealing our technology soul piece by piece, and there has to be a focus on protecting the corporate assets and IP. Digital natives are ideal problem solvers. If we could just include everyone in the discussion and map out solutions with the whole team right from the start, we could go a long way to vesting millennials in the solutions created. Sharing is great, and millennials truly believe in it, but it should happen on your own terms, not when someone else decides to take from you without your permission. Canon's been invested heavily in security solutions. The industry as a whole is focusing on that, but needs to focus more. And I think if I would leave everyone with anything, it would just be to just be aware of security, be safe, and then have a great holiday season. That's how I would end this.
Oh, great. Excellent. So so with that, folks, I want to say, you know, thank you very much for attending our presentation today. And Tom, I didn't know if you wanted to you know, impart any you know, words of wisdom before we break here and take off for the holiday. So I'll turn it over to you to say a few final words.
Okay. Well, thank you, Chris, for doing the webinar, for hosting the webinar. Thank you, Patricia and Dale, for participating. And really, most importantly, thank you for the attendees that were on the webinar. I hope we were able to share some insights that while some were, you know, already known, maybe there was a few kernels in there that you were able to pick up. But, you know, with that, I'm not going to keep you any longer, and I'm going to do the same as Patricia and wish you a very happy holiday season and a great 2017.
Yes, and if I could just add to that, we will be sharing the presentation material, a press release, and some additional content in the next couple of days. And if you do have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. Thanks again for joining.